Gordon Hudson?
Well, yeah, well, I never saw Gordon play, but of course he was a leading administrator when I was a player. He was the chairman, and he was always Gordon. Gordon was very good to me. Me and a kid called Gary Mace, who was an outstanding scrum half here. Well, Mickey Booth was the scrum half. He was probably got more games than two other players. One was John Spaulding. I played a lot of time with him, and Gary Mace. Oh, I missed largely. I played a little while with him, but I played in trials with him at the end of his career. And they were outstanding players. And I always thought that if they played in this era, or indeed if they'd have been somewhere else, if they'd have been in London, they could have played for Wasps, Harlequins, any of those Saracens, any of those teams, because they were within the, someone would have given the taxi fare. If you didn't play for Gloucester, you ended up in local rugby. John Spaulding often went back to Spartans, and Gary played for Matson for years afterwards. And, I was worried about that, really, how those players didn't really get what weren't recognised in the way that they should have done. But with Gordon, Gary was a working class kid, and one day I was up in the shop. He used to have a little shop on the corner of Northgate Street, and I can't remember what the street was, they used to have the Odeon there. And we walk in, and Gary was picking up some boots, and he used to get 11 quid for a pair of boots. It's 11 quid for a pair of boots here from the club. You got a contribution to your boots, but you had to pay a pound to be a member, something like that. What do you say? So Gordon used to be, and I couldn't say this, and Gary will confirm whether he could or not, but he used to look after Gary with a nice pair of boots. And my second game for Wasps, against Wasps, Gordon never ever said anything. He used to help these kids. I'm sure he helped others as well, to be honest with you. But my second game, I had got to Wasps, and I left my boots at home. I just made a mistake. I just put them in the bag, and I'm on this bus going up to the plate. My second game for Gloucester, like third game, something like that. And I got no boots, so Digger said, "Don't worry, so I'll leave that to me." And he goes in, and he gets hold of George Hastings, who was a legendary Gloucester prop from here. Mm-hmm. And George was watching. He said, "I got a pair of old boots." He said, "So I played in these old boots." They were old boots as well. They were about two sizes too big. I played the game, but I had to give them back. And remember, Fordy said, "Clean them." So I took him in the showers and cleaned him. He said, no, not in there. So we give him back to him and all that. And then you got wind of it, though. He didn't have any boots. So Gordon, you better come down there. Better come down and talk to you. So I went down to his shop, and he said, what so is he doing? I just had a look at it. Anyway, he gave me a box with the boots in. And he always knew I wasn't well to do at the time. You know, I was just a local kid. Like, and in September, I always got a pair of boots. And I know Gary. I used to look at Gary's. So I went, but they never discussed it though. And I don't know who else. So he was as good as gold to me. Gordon was, and I can't remember him as a player though.
Hmm. I guess the other big name in the administration of the club then was Mervyn Hughes.
Yeah, well, Mervyn was a winger, and he was, and he's another one I never saw play. But of course, he was. He was not negotiated. He didn't rule, actually. You know, he always said he had the best job in the world, president of Gloucester. He went on to be president, you see. But when he was the chairman, he was a fair man. He always took things in a way. I learned a lot from him, because he'd say, in selection, he played last week and he didn't. Is there any merit in that, moving him to there and bringing so and so in? He'd ask you if there's any merit in it. And we didn't have that level of intellect in, to be honest, the Gloucester setup. We'd missed a tackle, chuck him out. You couldn't fight or drink your beer. You didn't have a great in terms of status. Like, you've got to analyse when I talk about the Gloucester culture, there's a bit of that in it, really. And he brought a much wider sort of view to it all. And I thought he drew the best out of the people he had in there, because I had no experience at all. I was a captain, and they say, "Who would you pick?" And I picked the best kids I thought we had, you know. And they said, "Well, what did you see of so-and-so?" And I said, "Well, really, the truth was, I couldn't have seen a lot, because I was in the scrum, and these kids playing in the centre or outside half or something." So very often you get a contribution like that from. But he was a force for good, and a very influential character in the club for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And clearly another one who was besotted with the club.
Yeah, he he ran a youth club in a cookout. He lived in Green Lane, I think it was, because when I worked for Featherstone and I was a little kid leaving school, I used to deliver his groceries. And he'd always say hello, and he was like a cup of tea, and I was all be in a rush, like, you know, I'd have a cup of tea with a vicar, like, God, blimey, you know. And of course, I didn't realise then that he wasn't a vicar, he was a canon. Yeah. But he ran this club, and he said, you should, on a Friday night, we used to go to this youth club by the church in Ucklecote there, and, you know, he was getting the kids together and making sure that he knew who lived in the community and what they were doing. And he'd seen some Long Levens games, and he said, well, why don't you come and play a game for Gloucester? That's apart from Digger and Bumper Humphreys. He actually said, why don't you come and play? And I thought, this is a reasonable face of the Gloucester Rugby Club, he was. And so I did go and play, and I played a few games as a lock, which I was never going to be big enough. And then I was in the youth club one night, and he said, yes, well, you're doing very well. I don't think that you're ever going to be big enough to be a lock. So he said, I think you're going to have another game of prop. And he was they must have discussed, I wasn't in the committee meetings then, he was the chap who put all those ideas forward and then allowed me to prosper. So, because for the first going off, you know, I did all right in that first game against Mike Coolman, but there's plenty of other times when I've been down in the valley in Wales meeting a bloke who's awkward or big or little who knew more than me, where I had to hang on, you know, and no one knows you've been beaten. You never ever say, there's one thing with a boxer, someone's hand is held up after the fight, but with a prop you can both claim to be winners because you've probably had one or two scrums where you've won and one or two where he's won. So as you're learning it, you can keep your head held high, and you know that's very important, but because you have to be confident in the front row, because it's the only man to man in all of it.
Yeah.